Hello, my soul-seeking friends. It's Shanna. Thank you so much for listening to Sense of Soul podcast, enlightening conversations with like-minded souls from around the world, sharing their journey of finding their light within, turning pain into purpose, and awakening to their true sense of soul. If you like what you hear, show me some love and rate, like, and subscribe. And consider becoming a Sense of Soul Patreon member, where you will get ad-free episodes, monthly circles, and much more. Now go grab your coffee, open your mind, heart, and soul. It's time to awaken. Today on Sense of Soul, I have an out-of-this-world episode for you. My guest, Giulio Consiglio. He is a spiritual teacher and author who focuses on the transformative power of inner stillness, the mind-body-spirit connection, the quantum field, and psychic abilities development. His message is adorned to the point, there is life beyond fear and incessant thinking, and it is found in the dimension of inner stillness. My sweet friend, Jennifer Mitchell, from the Soul Traveler podcast, had recommended that I interview Giulio, and I'm super glad that she did. I found that Giulio and I have so many similarities in our journey, and one thing that we have in common is that we both often are looking up. Giulio shares his many experiences with UFOs. This was such a fun conversation that I couldn't wait to share with all of you. You can watch an extended version of this episode on Sense of Soul Patreon. So please welcome Giulio.
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent. How you doing?
I'm great. You know what? Our journeys are so much alike.
Oh, really?
And I can't wait to hear from you, but I have listened to a few of your interviews on other people's podcasts, and I'm like, whoa. I don't know if it's our generation, if it's ancestors, root races. I'm really not sure, but we're very parallel.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. There's the interconnectedness of the unified field. So All these souls that are awake now, we're here for a purpose, and it's to usher in new earth. So
where do you join me from?
I'm in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada.
Well, maybe that has something to do with it. You know, so I am originally from New Orleans.
Oh.
So I have Canadian ancestry. So maybe it has something to do with that, you know, because the Cajuns, right?
Yep.
So I'm in Colorado now. I've been forever.
I was in California. I've been dying to go forever. I finally went last summer, went to Mount Shasta, had an orb come in, and a few minutes later, I was stopped at like a parking area in front of a forest and like seven massive steps. I charged towards the tree line and it stopped.
Wow. Yeah.
But the orb I did catch on camera, and that one hasn't gone viral yet, but I have three UFO videos going viral right now on TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, really? On TikTok? Recently, I had on Diana Plasuka. She wrote The American Cosmic and Encounters. It's a new book. I mean, her story is freaking amazing. You got to go and listen to that. And
do you have that on YouTube, that interview? Or?
Yeah, I just started to do YouTube, but she said that there's this woman who actually works with astronauts and said that most people only see what is in front of them. Mm-hmm. And I was sharing with her, I look up a lot. It's like I go outside, I look up, and usually I'm looking at birds. But because I do that, I see a lot of things. But she said that most people don't do that. That's not the normal. So I found that to be really interesting. And I was thinking about that, listening to your story. I was like, I wonder if he's one of those that always looks up.
And the reason is people, human beings, have been conditioned and have forgotten through the separation experience their interconnectedness with star family. So if you don't realize that there's family there, that there's another aspect of the multi-dimensional self there, we look down or we're on our phones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So I am Gen X.
Yep. 72.
And so I actually really want to know, let's start how you grew up, because I think I did not hear that in any of your interviews. You know, what was your childhood like and your faith? And, you know, when did you, you know, move into that spiritual awakening?
So I grew up Roman Catholic, and my grandmother was a demonstration of like that faith. Anytime I would go visit her, she was praying with the rosary, and she always talked about God. But I knew, I had always known, you know, that there was a God, a source, creator. So grew up Catholic and grew up working. By the time I was seven, I was already opening up my dad's hardware store at 7 years old on the weekends. So I grew up working. Then from there, graduated, went to the States, got educated as a hygienist, came back, started doing clinical work, theory instructor at the college level. And as far back as I can remember as a kid, my mind was always silent. And I didn't realize that everyone's was not. When 19 came around, the ego started to take over. So I started to become quite sensitive to like my energies and the energies around me. And I went the conventional route, found no relief, pressed on, and at 24, went to go see a specialist. And he said to me, and this actually fueled me even more, he said, "You're going to be sitting up in your coffin having panic attacks." And in that moment, I had a thought come to me, come one way or another, I'm going to find a way. So despite those heavy feelings, and that was any time I came out of the present moment, and I didn't understand that the ego, what was happening was, it's essentially attacking, and it attacks on an energetic level. So that there's a blessing in that, because you need that contrast and you need suffering. Without suffering, we don't even seek to change. Who changes when you're comfortable, right? So I pressed on, and then by the time I was 32, I had gotten married to a high school sweetheart. That crumbled 15 months later. We were both unhappy. I should actually backtrack real quick. Just before that, my brother in 96 had passed away, and that had a massive impact on me. That actually had me contemplating, like, what is death and why? Because he never smoked, he never drank, same as me. And what had happened was I could feel the heaviness coming on, like as the years went on. And it was actually my experience with the night terror that was the final catalyst. So I went to bed one night, and it was about 2 or 3 in the morning. I've always been sort of a light sleeper. I think that's a martial artist in me, just being alert in a sense. And I suddenly awoke to like a negative presence just hovering over the bed. So I opened my eyes, and when I opened my eyes, the covers were being pulled off me. So I sat up. I was actually shocked that something I couldn't see could do that. Went downstairs, said a few prayers, because I had to go to work the next day at the dental office. As I got up to go to work the next day, when I got to the threshold of my master bedroom, I could still sense this negative energy. And I basically told it to take a hike, jumped in the shower, and I was ready. And I said, "Show me another way or take me out, because I've had enough." Mm-hmm. A few weeks went by, and I'd been staring at a book by Dr. Daniel Amen, "Change Your Brain, Change Your Life." Didn't even get past page 60 or 62. It was just one sentence. "When you allow negative thoughts to go unchallenged," that struck me. So on this particular day, November 7th, 2005, patient canceled. So I do what I usually do, is jump in my car, drive a few blocks, and just try to relax and decompress, because you get a lot of patients coming in with a lot of fears and anxieties. The book was on the driver's seat. As I began to reflect on that phrase, not a male or female voice came up through my chest audibly and said, "Challenge your thoughts." And in that instant, the third eye cracked open and began to vibrate. It was now shutting down the automatic negative thinking or energies for me. I still had a patient to get to. Went back to the office, finished that patient while I have this activated force going off in my forehead. I drive home. It's a rainstorm and I'm feeling spent. And I'm coming into surrender. I jumped on the couch and I said, "Just let me die." And in that instant, I popped out. My awareness left. That's what you call dying before you die. When I came back, I knew everything, in a sense. I knew what had happened, why it happened. Within 2 weeks, automatic writing. Within another 2 weeks, my first workshop on consciousness and enlightenment. And by Christmas, so within a few more weeks, I'd written the first book, Challenge Your Thoughts.
Wow. It's even more than I thought. We were so aligned. Of course, came from a Catholic family. It worked for my dad most of my life. I had so much loss at one point. You know, one of my best friends died. My dad died. My mama died. My grandma, who I have a rosary right there. I was absolutely lost. And actually, I had an experience with a big ass black shadow at the end of my bed around that time as well, and was plead in the blood of Jesus for it to go away. That's for sure. Went to therapy, talk therapy. They sent me to a mindfulness class. And there for the first time, I heard myself. You know, I became that witness and I realized how horrible I was talking to myself. And so I started to challenge my thought. Began doing meditation and would write afterwards. And I would write and write, couldn't stop. It was uncontrollable. And then Sense of Soul came shortly after all that.
That's incredible.
Right?
Soul spirit just needs that little bit, literally that little crack, that door opening, just to let the floodgates open and be invited.
And for me, I oftentimes have a hard time because I'm so conditioned. My DNA is so conditioned that I always relate my experiences to be very angelic within something that was part of my beliefs. Like, I hear people's stories and they're very extraterrestrial. And in the way that they experience, I experience the very same, but yet I'm considering this a angelic, divine experience, but there's really no difference.
I agree completely. Like, I will use the hashtag alien when I post just to get people to see it. But when you're operating through the unified field, nothing is truly alien. Most human beings are alien to themselves. So when they're alien to themselves, they don't know who they are. And then that's an alien. That's an alien. It's all consciousness. It's all spiritual in nature. So that's my understanding of that.
Mm-hmm. And people get stuck on words. Right?
Conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love to challenge people on that now that I understand that. And, you know, I think that my journey has, where it's at today, has evolved to this understanding that everything is one. And when you understand that everything is one, right? The hawks outside that I like to look at, or even the unidentified whatever I'm looking at and following across the sky, right? It's all part of the same thing. Ooh, and I actually have a really creepy video of this crazy owl that was in my backyard one night. I have got to send you that because that shit was not anywhere near normal.
Send that, because you know who's talked about owls before? Dolores Cannon. That's how she got into her work. There was apparently a very large owl that appeared in her driveway. I think that was the sign she had asked for. She had asked for a sign whether she should go into this UFO work. That's a very interesting that you mentioned.
I did not know that. For me, I could see an owl and not bat an eye, right? And not bat an eye. I mean, I could see it every day and not think. But there are certain moments that are different. And so you have this knowing that this is different. The energy shifts. Right? You could look up in the sky and see 1,000 stars and many airplanes going in the sky, and you never question what they are. But sometimes you walk out your door and you look up and that feels different.
I couldn't agree with you more, especially with the experiences here in the backyard. This morning still felt very neutral. I had a few cloaked objects come in. But when they're ready, which is most days, when they're ready to really interact with me, within a minute or two, you literally feel like you're shifting into another higher dimension of reality. It is up there, if not sometimes more transcendent than my own awakening. It's out of body almost. Very uplifting.
Yeah. It's a different feeling. So many people will have experiences like that and just, it's nothing. I'm sure that was just weird. And they never even mentioned it again until maybe somebody else has the experience. Oh, yeah, I had that before. But there's this process that has to go on, I think, prior of healing, actually, to get to the point where you can trust those experiences.
It takes spiritual maturity and growth to be able to really trust and be honed into your intuition. So you're able to read the energy. The other thing is, like, unless we really know ourselves. So until someone knows themselves as spiritual, you're not going to realize where you truly are, that the outer world is actually spiritual in nature, and it's very malleable to circumstances, mean nothing. It's our thoughts, it's our vibrational frequency, our outlook that shifts it literally, you know, multiple times in a moment, depending on what you're choosing. So yeah, most people, if they don't understand who they are, the egoic mind is very rigid, very, anything that is contrary to its belief system is considered a threat. And that's when I'll have people reacting to some of my videos, because it challenges their beliefs. So you can't argue with them. You have to you transcend it, because it's just not for them.
Right. Not yet. It's almost like we're not speaking the same language even.
It's exactly it. I sort of look at it as I'm speaking from a different floor. We're maybe 50, 60 floors away. You really can't hear me. So it is what it is.
You just said something. When you were younger, there was a space in your mind. I mean, I don't know if you said it like that, but this is how I was thinking about it, because I remember being in that space quite often. In fact, being called a space cadet, an airhead, or whatever, because I was always in this space. Now here as an adult, always trying to go back into that space.
Yeah.
But it is in that space that you will have this awareness to be able to experience these kind of things.
Absolutely. Everything that one could ever desire, wisdom, clarity, understanding, and every potential is in that dimension of inner stillness, that state of no mind. It is universal, cosmic, Christ consciousness. You can call it Buddha nature, but it's that no mind state. So the mind is silent, but there is awareness and intelligence there. And the local mind, so my local awareness, who is aware of my surroundings, has always been aware of it, but not to the degree that it is now. Now it's completely fully integrated. You'll hear of people channeling, like they'll channel ETs, or they'll channel, when they get into. I live that moment by moment. So it's continuous. There's an ego death happening moment by moment. So that's where I'm at.
And I'm sure it took you a while, because you said around 19, the ego started to get pretty loud in your mind.
Yeah.
You have the whole world telling you to get out of your head.
Exactly. So I realized in writing my latest book right now, physicians, you know, the one I had was wonderful. He was very well-meaning, a great soul, but they're not trained in energy medicine. They're not trained in enlightenment or consciousness. So they can only offer you what they know. When I reflect on it, there's perfection in it, because there was not going to be, when I use the word salvation, we need to take away the heaviness of that word. All it means is protection from harm. And that protection from harm is self-inflicted negativity, protection, or the awareness to not be operating through that self-inflicting ego, that self-inflicting negativity. So salvation is always the present moment, and it's the awareness to observe automatic negative thinking and not identify and react to it. That's how you starve the ego. And that's how you experience ego death. So enlightenment or mastery is not just this one time awakening. You then practice it moment by moment. That's where your strength actually is.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I feel like I was able to reclaim my power. There was this sovereignty, like this freedom.
It's a very powerful state, because now you're living from the inside out and not the outside in. So you're not allowing circumstances or the outer world to be like repeated in your consciousness. And that's how, it's like a ship taking on water, you end up sinking. If you just be centered and observe, the waves can come and crash all they want, but they're not going to impact you. Because the power of stillness, people say, well, if you have your mind quiet or you transcend it, are you suppressing anything? You're not suppressing anything. The fire of consciousness is unconditional love. So anything unlike it will just burn it up. When a negative thought arises, when you're that centered, you can take it, twist it, drop it. That's the potential within us. And we need to remember that, because we are incredibly powerful spiritual beings.
And that's why I do this podcast, because I just want people to be able to find that within themselves and see that any pain that arises, any emotion that arises, is just a message that something else needs to be either healed, that warning sign that there's something here that needs attention, awareness.
So if we can see our negative emotions or any emotion, even a body cue coming mm-hmm. from the subtle body as a message, as a sign, you know, people have become afraid of their bodies, especially when they experience an ache or a pain, they immediately react or they're running to the physician. And if you can tune into that, like, what is the body trying to say? Because the wisdom, you know, we don't have to think, my heart has to beat, I have to breathe. It's all done automatically. So there's this inner healer within us that if we just get out of the way, pay attention to the cues. Like, for example, fasting, I took it up 3 years ago. I love fasting. I just did a 3-day and it's incredible. It's transformative. I remember the very first time I did it, the second day, so the second evening, I was bathed for about 6 hours in unconditional love. It was absolutely astounding and incredible. And when it was leaving me finally around 1 a.m., you know, I could feel this reaction come over me and then I let it pass because it was that profound. They're all messengers. Everything's a message. What is going on right now in the outer world is calling us back, is a message to go within, find your inner healer, reconnect with spirit. And because we have everything that we truly need, you know, the brain is the greatest pharmacist that we have, but it needs to be invoked with our vibration and our thoughts and everything. That is like the transformer from spirit to the good feeling chemicals like endorphins. It's been a process, but more and more people are realizing they can't necessarily rely completely on the outside world. So what's the other solution? Go within.
You see what's happening going on in yourself, and then you see it. I see it in my clients, and then I see it in the world.
I always say, you know, it's personal change or growth is always turbulent. So what's going on right now is in the collective is a reflection of the individual consciousness. What people thought was reality or, you know, what was for them are waking up and realizing, whoa, this is not the way things work. It takes that. The other thing I'll mention is, you know, we don't change too, is because really, you know, a lot of people experience so much pain, but that's actually a testament to how strong we are as spiritual beings. You know, some of the stories I've heard of people, what they go through, and it's just, I don't see weakness. I see strength, and I see what, you know, that's what that soul is choosing to purpose. And it's offering gifts and it's suffering to others. It's all relativity. So it's quite profound.
Definitely saw that through my ancestral journey, realizing, holy crap, for this body to be here, a lot of lineages went through a whole lot. And it's a sheer miracle that I'm even here.
Absolutely. So I do reflect on that from time to time, especially, you know, the souls that have come before us who didn't quite have the awareness that is now here. So very grateful always.
Yeah. And then also you see, you know, this almost acceptance in a way collectively of people that maybe hasn't been before too. And I think it's very beautiful. And you see like this divine feminine and masculine energies being more honored in both male and female.
That's actually necessary because otherwise we're unbalanced. So, if, you know, if I can speak for men, you know, a lot of men mostly operate between the first 2-3 chakras. And you can't live a successful life or a successfully spiritual life if you're not balanced. So you got to be heart, you know, the heart center, and then that connects you with the upper chakras. From that point of view, you're then able to tune into through the third eye, your intuition, your wisdom, and you become a balanced human being. In other words, whole. You know, we're already whole, each and every one of us. It's the awareness, which I always say awareness is everything.
Everything. Me too. Yeah. I feel that same way. So when you had your experience of awakening, did you have like, you know, some people have like a kundalini awakening. Was there some aha moment for you?
That's a great question. So I had created so much heaviness through the pain body or the pain entity. So I had this heaviness over me, like all of us do as we collect, because we're like energetic sponges. When I called out and sort of demanded for another way, when I reflect on that, what astounds me is when I did that, I completely let go. Those 2 weeks leading up to my activation of the third eye, which was a Kundalini awakening, I was at peace essentially, because I had sort of let go And that's key, because when we surrender in that sense, what could have taken a couple of more years happened for me at 33. It just came on like all at once. So my desire, and this is still an understatement for me to say, was white hot, to know another way. I somehow intuitively knew there was another way, that this was not supposed to be the way life is supposed to be. When that shift happened, when that awakening happened, when I reflect on it, it was about a 32, 33 day process. I was experiencing mystical events, and there were things coming to the surface that I was forgiving and healing. So it was a complete unfolding, but it was such an incredible process. I've experienced mystical events even before the shift, when my brother was passing away, but that was so undeniable what I was going through. And it, from then on, anything that rose to the surface, you understood, no, it needs to come to the surface. It can be transmuted.
Someone said to me the other day, you're so open and all this stuff. I said, girl, if you would have saw me like 15, 20 years ago, you'd have been like, that poor girl, she doesn't have a fucking clue. Like, you know, she's so, you know, conditioned and keeping up with the Joneses and all these things. And I tell you, when I was going through that awakening, I felt like I wasn't even in the planet. I felt like Shanna left in many ways. or someone new came through. But I remember looking up my symptoms. You know, this is when the internet was like, not like it is now, but I would find Kundalini. What the hell is this? Is this a new disease? But I would find these like message boards back then, or, you know, not even blogs. It was kind of like Reddits or something that people were talking about this. And I was like, that's so odd. I have all of these symptoms. Because they weren't all physical. You know, there are also things that were happening to my dreams. Synchronicity was a huge one. Synchronicities and dreams are probably two of the things that I work most with, even today.
Absolutely. I've always, from one point of view, always sort of had this awareness of synchronicities. But since, you know, the shift, everything speaks to us. It could be the next fortune cookie. It could be the next billboard. I was having breakfast by myself at a restaurant like a year ago. And this, I think the group is called America. I can't remember, but the song came on, and it went along the lines, anything you want or anything you desire, you shall have. It was just going along like that. And I just perked up, and I'm like, is no one else like listening to this? Like, and no one was. So, yep. You know,
everything
speaks, and everyone's a teacher.
Everything. Whether it comes through the radio, the television, animals, I mean, it's everywhere. But of course, like you said, again, that awareness. So has it always been there? But yet we were just so busy.
And just to touch upon even more how everything sort of speaks with us, even my interactions with the UFOs in the backyard, you know, 95% of the time they respond and they'll power up when I request it. The odd time it won't. And I break out into laughter. So they have reminded me, not that I wasn't before, but the playfulness, just the playfulness is just incredible.
In some situations, especially when you're running into paranormal, however that looks, sometimes you're scared. I mean, we watch scary movies about this all the time, so we're so conditioned to that. You know, so tell me about your first experience where you actually were like, oh, okay, I'm going to accept this. This is happening.
Are we talking paranormal or UFO?
Yeah, well, either one.
The first one was sort of scary at 16, and I couldn't understand how I could do this. My brother was a correctional officer. He was 9 years older than me. So he was going in for a morning shift. I was on the bed, and I was very much awake still. He used to like just like to make noise, big brother thing, just because if he has to go to work, then I should be awake. He went to work, and he used to walk to work. He was only like 10 blocks away. So as soon as he left, I saw the silhouette of a female apparition. It was all black at the foot of my bed. Next thing I know, it said, I'm going to get you. Next thing you know, I couldn't speak. I was feeling pressed on. So I called out to my sister Carolina. I said, I tried calling her. It took about six roars. Finally, I broke through, and she comes running in the room, vanished, never saw it again. The interesting thing is, my deep sense is it followed me from high school. It was a shadow person, and I've dealt with them before. And you know, the building that my dad had built, he had built that. We had a hardware store on the main floor. So it was a new building. It wasn't like there was anything really there. It was sort of a commercial area. Fast forward though, after my shift, I lived for about 5 years in a haunted house. And when I was writing Open Your Third Eye, I actually was going to write just a paranormal book because that was 5 years of paranormal. But at this point, I understand everything and I'm completely fearless. So this one night, I'm half awake, half asleep, 3 in the morning, and I crashed in the family room and I hear chattering of teeth. And I talk about this in one of my books. I turn around, coming toward me, 3 5-foot hooded figures, couldn't see their face, one behind another, behind another. The word I used to describe it is frenetic. So I sat up and I said, really, you want to do this? Took my pillow and swung it, went right through them. So I jumped up, just charged towards them in my stillness, and they immediately vanished, never saw them again. But there was so much phenomena going on there. I literally could have written a book just from those experiences.
These shadow figures, hooded figures, I feel like they're basically archetypes. I don't know if we've manifested them collectively or, you know, when there's no way that there can be always like this tall man with a like a hat or this jester figure that people see often. I've had hooded figures in my dreams, but I communicate with them and I've talked to them plenty. And they've given me lots of wisdom, but they weren't 5 feet either.
The interesting thing I find is with some of these shadow figures, what I've come to understand is, so when a person dies, the soul leaves and you shed the two densest aspects. We shed the physical body and we shed the egoic shadow self. For a lot of these shadow people, that's the shadow that they're experiencing, their attachment in nature. So they hover. I was living across the street from a cemetery. So they love cemeteries because they're still attached to the body. And so a lot of these are, not all of them, but a lot of them are these shadows. But I should speak on a very light and beautiful experience in a sense. When my brother was passing away, I would go visit him every night from the dental office. I got off this one night, and before I enter his room, there was a long 60-foot corridor. And there was always a greeting room, very bland, green TV, couch, that sort of thing. This night I went off and I glanced and I saw the room was painted pale blue. There was a beautiful statue of Mary and there were roses on the wall. So I walk into the room not thinking anything of it. And I said to my sister, Jerry, that's beautiful. They turned the greeting room into a chapel. She looked at me, what the bleep are you talking about? We went back out there and it was a greeting room. Yeah, it was gone. It was a vision. He passed about a week or two later. And the other interesting thing is we found out after, the woman that he was basically married to, she was essentially an atheist in a sense. And when she was feeding him in the last week or two, his eyes darted to the corner of the room. She followed his train of sight. She saw a vision of Mary. So just confirmation, but that was my one and only experience with that.
But there you go. This is a common theme as well, right?
Yeah. I've always found her, like her strength and her divine guidance is always readily available. Like as soon as you just, all you have to do is put your attention and you invite it in and it's palpable. It's absolutely palpable.
I love that. Someone mentioned in an episode not long ago that when you think about praying to God, sometimes it's fearing and you're going to be judged and there might be shame and guilt and all these negative emotions attached to that. But when you think of Mother Mary, she said it was accessible. And I thought that was so true.
Absolutely. And even with source or whether we want to use the word God, I think not the problem, but people, when you see the hear the word God, people immediately think of something separate and something outside of us and you know, religious. God is the all that is. So we are immersed in an ocean of God. And source and God is our very life, as close as our breath. And everything around us is the same energy and force, just in different form. It's the all-encompassing one. So as soon as you find that stillness within, you then see the stillness without. It's like there is no outside world. And when we react to the outside world, the reason we experience reaction is because the two are one.
Yeah, that was a long journey for me, though, because of all the conditions.
And those sort of moments where you awaken, I sort of relate it to, you know, when you find out Santa Claus wasn't real. just amplify, you know, you sit there, what? You're 9 years old, 8 years old.
I know.
Just amplify that a bit more. And that's an understatement, but that's what it's like. You when you find out an untruth about something,
right,
you get this initial little sort of shock in a sense, but that's meant, that's your energy coming to life. That's the resurrection taking place, the soul awareness.
I was mad though for a long time. I mean, I still get mad about certain things, even when I just recently found all of Mary's stories and all these texts and sitting down and asking, questioning my mother, who totally went through catechism and all that stuff, and saying, yeah, who's Saint Anne? And she was like, Mother Mary's mom. And I'm like, how do you know? And she's like, because it's in the Bible. I'm like, no, it's not. You know, and I feel like that I have had some sort of like religious trauma syndrome, because I was so faithful. And I'll tell you, I have a whole nother relationship with Jesus, a whole nother relationship with Source, with Mother God. Let's not forget, of course, how could there just be a Father, Son,
yeah,
and a ghost? Who's the ghost?
Yeah. Yeah. The great communicator, by the way.
Yes. And the wisdom. Wisdom, yeah. You know, Sophia in the Gnostic Gospels.
So is intuition. For example, from my perspective, when a divine masculine can tune into that, it's very, the energy is soothing, because from one perspective, you could almost say divine masculine energy, it's almost like, and I've seen them back here energetically, sort of like a dragon energy. It's just masculine. So the soothing energy of the, you know, the intuition of the, you know, the balance of the female. It's incredible.
Okay, this is crazy. So I had a friend ask me, because I do art, I do digital art. She said, can you please make me a dragon? So I did. And I made her this beautiful feminine, gorgeous dragon, right? And I am a dragon. This is my year too. And she comes back. Oh, she loved it. And then like 3 weeks later, she's like, you know, I had a vision, I think it's a masculine dragon. And I was like, no, it's not. No. So I start to make what she wants, you know? And I spent a lot of time on it, and I give it to her, and she's like, oh, wow. That's very menacing looking, very masculine, yes, for sure, and very robust. And I was like, oh, I made a Putin dragon, didn't I? I made like a Nazi dragon. And she's like, yeah, I was thinking more of a divine masculine. Like, of course you were. This was such a great teacher for me. And the fact that you just said this just now.
That's so wild.
Well, the masculine dragon, you know, this has been going on since like January. Yeah. So I redid it, but I had to get into that place where I wasn't just doing this off of my conditioned ego. And I had to go into the stillness that you speak of.
Yeah.
And I was able to really connect with that masculine, beautiful dragon that had all the qualities of a divine masculine.
That's amazing. The dragon energy that manifested was during an encounter about a year ago. So I'm describing an object and it's moving slowly. In the first second, you see a shooting energy go straight up. And then you see a dragon energy. When you slow it down, you can see it slithering and actually opening its mouth. And then I get photobombed at the 5 second mark by the black triangle that is deeply connected with me.
Okay, you have to send me this. I really want to see it. Do you
have
it?
I will.
Yeah.
I'll send it. I've posted it. Yeah. I'll DM it. Yeah, absolutely.
So what were you feeling during that time? Because what made that experience different?
That experience was so uplifting, and I was dealing with so many different energies. And the incredible thing is, when triangle, now I'm acutely aware because I've caught several instances where it photobombs my encounters with other objects. That encounter specifically, I didn't even know that it had photobombed me. But even the dragon energy, when it came in, it was moving so quickly. So much of this phenomena is happening so fast. You know, I've really had to catch up to speed. But when you slow it down, you can see the colors in it. It's like the colors of the chakras. It's absolutely breathtaking.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have a lot of hawks around here. And actually, for years, the hawk was a huge part of my journey because they were just everywhere. There was this one day, it was after I teach Reiki and I had a class, and a student and I were outside, and there was these hawks, and they were playing in my front yard pretty close. And I'm like, wow, they're so playful right now. Like, so I took my phone out to videotape them. And what I got later, which I would have never noticed had I not really looked at them a million times and slow it down a little bit, there is a totem hawk. There is a ghost hawk that comes like out of the sun. I'll send it to you. It is on my TikTok.
You have to send it. That doesn't surprise me though, because they're present. They're there.
Oh, so cool.
Incredible. It's funny you mention hawks, because me and my sisters, we always relate hawks to my brother, because it's sort of a sign when we see hawks that, you know, he's in the area. There'll be times we're driving the highway, you literally see one every mile just perched.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, love that. So the last, there's another video I got. I'll make you laugh. So it was my birthday last year. And I felt like it was a gift, because I've already always related them to my dad as well, because my dad, he used to call his truck the hawk. And so I'm in the backyard and my daughter's out there with me, and there's this hawk that's just been sitting for like hours with me outside. Huge hawk. And we were taking video and pictures, and all of a sudden, and you can hear me in the video, I'm like, this is like one of the most divine moments of my life. I just felt like it was like the best birthday ever. And this other hawk comes in and like they have sex on the video. And here, I just got to say it was the most divine. And then it takes off and leaves. It was so hilarious. I'm like,
you capture that? You actually capture that?
And my daughter's laughing so hard, she's like, you just said it was the most amazing moment.
Wait, you actually recorded that? You recorded that?
It's so freaking hilarious. Oh my god. It was so good. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? Like I said, because I'm always looking up, and I always do try to capture it, because it's so divine to me that I wouldn't share it. Sometimes I don't share with anybody, but that was really funny.
Crazy.
It was a good one. I wanted to show you one other thing, because I got to go get it.
Yeah.
My dad's family, they were from Czechoslovakia, like third generation, and had a hardware store. It even says their last name on the keys. And they, and every key says Hart Vavra Hardware.
That's crazy.
And so one of my uncles, who's an architect, after my grandpa Vavra, and they all are Vavra Hardwares, by the way. And they even still have one in Prague.
You're kidding me.
No. Isn't that cool?
And our hardware store was Hamilton Crest. That was made how long ago?
This right here?
How long ago was that made?
Not really sure, but so this was when they closed down the hardware store, my grandpa's.
Yeah.
The architect had all of this stuff that was left over. And so he made I don't even know what these pieces are.
That reminds me of a spaceship. Might have some door hardware there.
Yeah. You got like
pins are obvious. The keys. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing what you can make. Yeah, that's a faucet strainer in the end. Yeah.
I'm a very sentimental person. I'm a Taurus. And so
that's crazy.
Stuff like this means so much to me. So I thought that was very interesting. You know what? I've really connected with that too, because I've never ever allowed this entrepreneurship to be a part of my destiny. I just saw it because it was all the men. And so just recently, I've kind of said, no, you know, this is in me, whether it's male or female or whatever, right? This is my DNA. So I've been embracing that.
You have to. Your passions are being called, the things that you're passionate about, they want to be expressed. Same as psychic abilities. People are shocked when I say this. Our our own psychic abilities have a consciousness of their own, and they want to be expressed through us, just like we're expressing ourselves through Source. So they want to be actualized. So those dreams that you have, those passions, they want to be actualized. And you're the doorkeeper. You say yes or no. So allowing them to express, you just experience more. You become more fulfilled.
You're so right. That's so true. You know, I've done a lot of past life regressions. I've done a lot of sessions, QHHT, and I've also taken a lot of classes. And so all that, you know, in many ways has kind of given me clues of root races and where I might be connected. Actually, I had a past life where I was a reptilian, and I wanted to come out of that so quickly. Jennifer did that, and she pulled me out rather quickly. But through this, have you received a knowing what is your root race?
With regards to star family?
Yeah.
I do get a lot of Palladian downloads. When I channel Cosmic Contact, the collective, they don't want to really use names. They just go by a collective. But they made me very, again, sort of aware of just why they're here, what the purpose is. But my deep sense is Palladian. Like I've realized this is my last go around. I've only come here to help with the ascension and new earth. There's really, in terms of nothing else that I need to achieve. It's just anchoring the frequency that human beings are going to be stepping into. It's inner stillness.
So I know there's a lot of things going against us as well. So I think really knowing yourself and knowing that and using your discernment on the things that you read and listen to is very important.
Now more than ever. So I always say to people, even with my UFO sightings, when I'm observing them, I believe nothing, if that makes sense. I'm simply a witness to it. So they've made it clear, you know, what would be the point of us showing up en masse when the majority of people don't even know who they are? They're waiting for human beings to become more heart-centered, right? A more of a collective awakening. So in that sense, it's like discernment is everything. And so even, you know, even what I say is even the words that I speak, believe nothing. Take what resonates, discard what doesn't. You're free to always return to it. If something resonates, then put it into practice. But otherwise, it's all about vibration and frequency and resonance. So it's very important. The goal is not to create more beliefs. The goal is to transcend them all.
Hey, woman.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
Thank you so very much for saying that. That's very important for right now. I've had people on before, one who I won't even release. He has a huge following and he is well known. And I saw right through him. He didn't know the things that I had known, you know, and have studied. And a lot of the stuff that he speaks on, he took from someone else.
I won't say the name. I already got a download. I already know who you're talking about. They already told me. I think I literally heard it in your mind. I'm getting it.
I bet you did. Actually, I believe that you did.
Get the exact same energy as well.
I end up finding someone else who felt the same. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm not being judgy because I've never had that experience before. And I was very disappointed too.
Yeah.
You know, I really would love to stay in touch. I feel very connected to you. And just want to let you know that if you ever have any weird shit and you have no one to tell, you can always tell me.
Thanks, Shanna. That's very sweet and very kind. You're very gracious. Thank you so much.
Well, tell everybody where they can find your book, where they can find you. And I know that you keep mentioning a new book. So The Healing Frequency is the one that I think is your last book.
No, that was my second book. Third Eye was my third.
Okay.
And then Cosmic Contact was my fourth.
Wow, I had it wrong.
Finding Your Calm was my fifth book. And I have a new one coming out, The Inner Healer. And that'll come out next year. That'll be my sixth. So Amazon, you know, local bookstores that are available. And I'm on social media and store my UFO, UAP videos. There's countless. I've had over 1,000 encounters, over 500 videos. So it's Julio Consiglio, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok.
I want to send you my owl and my hawk. You're not going to believe either one of them. It's so crazy.
Send it.
That owl is scary as shit. It was crazy. All I was like telling my dogs, here, now let's go inside.
Send it. I want to see it.
I don't know what it is. Many, you know, I actually had someone look at it and say that might be a seraphim. And I was like, holy shit.
Whoa.
And actually, I did look up and someone was trying to find pictures of seraphim. And it might be, it might have been. It was not your average owl. However, I could see that it was an owl. Kind of. The feeling I had was insane.
It's funny you're mentioning this. I'm getting cherub angelic energy as well. So I'm just getting just high frequency energy. I actually see the picture in my mind. It's quite beautiful.
I just wish they would have said, fear not, Shanna. Like they did the rest of the people. That shit was scary.
That's crazy.
All right. Hilarious. Nice to meet you. Let me know about what you think about my birds.
Okay. I will.
All right. Thank you, Julio.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Sense of Soul Podcast. And thanks to our special guests for joining me. If you want more of Sense of Soul, check out my website at www.mysenseofsoul.com, where you can work with me one-on-one or help support Sense of Soul Podcast by donating to my coffee fund. Thanks for listening.